I would like to add something to the fellowship at the end on this matter of the salt from the prior session. I'd like to read another little bit, two short paragraphs from the same message. And again, I would recommend, sisters, this is from the Collected Works of Witness Lee, 1968, and volume number 1. You can get much more if you go there. The section is entitled, "The Sisters Needing to Season, quote-unquote, the Church Life by Adding Salt," quote-unquote, salt. "The Sisters Needing to Season the Church Life by Adding Salt." Fourth, "The function of the sisters in the church can be compared to adding salt to food to season it and improve the flavor of." Let us illustrate this function in the following way. In a family, the father may instruct the children concerning their behavior. However, the father may be rough and not careful in giving the children instruction. Thus, after the father's instruction, the mother may need to come in to make up the lack. She may realize that her husband was not careful, but she should not speak to the children about her father's shortage. If she does this, she will damage the situation. If she is wise, she will confirm what the father said, but she will add something to make up the father's lack. This kind of instruction will be effective. If only the mother instructs the children in their behavior, her instruction will not work out as well as when the father and she both give the instructions. In the church life, the brothers, we admit, are sometimes rough and not careful in making decisions. Many times the sisters need to add something to make up the brother's lack. What the sisters add can be compared to salt added to improve the flavor of food. After the salt has been added, the flavor is right. The sisters are needed to add salt to all that the brothers say and do in the church. If the sisters add the proper amount of salt, whatever the brothers say and do will be wonderful in the church. Otherwise, it will be poor and without flavor. Amen. If the sisters learn the lesson of adding salt to everything in the church life, even if something negative happens to one of the brothers, that thing will turn out to be a great blessing, not only to him, but also to the whole church. Oh, sisters, I hope we would endeavor to learn this kind of lesson. Amen. In this session, I would like to start by highlighting a particular portion in the Old Testament that talks about two sisters, an older sister and a younger sister. And, you know, if you read the Bible from this perspective, particularly the Old Testament, but also the New, you could see that quite a number of times you have this kind of divine, organic combination. An older one and a younger one, teamed together. For example, we talk about Joshua and Caleb. You know, many of us just passed through the training on the book of Deuteronomy. And in the church here, actually this week, we're beginning this review of those portions and those messages. And in the story of the children of Israel, you do see something about Joshua and Caleb. And people talk about them as a pair very often, Joshua and Caleb. However, the Bible chronicles Joshua's relationship with Moses much more than with Caleb. And even from Exodus 17, you could see the connection between Moses and Joshua and the preparation of the younger generation. And so throughout the Bible, you have things, situations like this with David, Samuel.
Right.
David with Samuel. Elijah with Elisha. But not only with brothers, also with sisters, you have Naomi and Ruth. With Esther, actually not two sisters, here it's an uncle with his niece, but two generations together. The one that I would like to highlight briefly is Deborah in the book of Judges. And if you have your Bible with you, I would like that we could turn to the book of Judges, chapter 5. You know, this story appears much earlier, earlier in the book. Judges 5 is actually the song of Deborah and Barak. But the event is before, and we don't have the time, I don't have this burden to get into the details. But there's a wonderful story. And this story brings together these two women. Deborah, whom we know better, and actually we have Deborahs among us. People call their daughters Deborah. This is a very good name. But there's another one, Jael. I only met one in the Lord's recovery. There is one, at least that I know of. Jael is a younger sister. And so the story is that Israel is under siege, and they need to be rescued, and there's just no proper brother. There's no leader. And so they go to Deborah. She must have had some standing among the children of Israel. And this sister, she is extraordinary. And she is excellent. And so she says she will go, and she will take this lead to fight for God's people, but only if this other one, Barak, comes, right? And so this is a sister who had certainly capacity. She had ability. She had wisdom. She had so many proper virtues. But she knew the spiritual principle, and she knew the proper position of the female according to God's ordination and administration. So she would not do anything without proper covering. So she insisted that Barak would come. Actually, Barak did very little, but she insisted that he would come. At the end, when they go to fight, they're fighting this person, Sisera. At the end, it was the Lord's arranging, and you'll see in Judges 5, the heavens were actually fighting. This was something divine. This was neither Deborah nor Barak. But this Sisera, he ends up in the tent, in the home of this young sister, who is willing to offer hospitality. Can you imagine? By offering hospitality, she defeated the enemy. And so it's a very interesting story. I'm not sure it's a good bedtime story, though. Maybe you should, if you're going to speak this to your children, speak it a little earlier in the day. Because she realizes who he is. She's also very wise. Very wise. In the song of Deborah, I think it says, he asked for water and she gave him milk. Anyway, she just gave proper hospitality, and then he goes to sleep, and he's the leader, and he's fleeing attack of Israel. Israel now is on the offensive, and they're standing their ground, and so they're defeated. He's running away, and so he's kind of a refugee, right? He's trying to find, and so she calms him down, goes to sleep, and then when he's asleep, she takes a nail, and then boom, right, and kills him. Yeah, so. Like I said, not a story for bedtime for your girls. So she was really the leader, but she was the one who really carried out, and there was a coordination between these two generations. But females taking the lead, really, but taking the lead with proper covering and a proper spirit of submission, Really, these two women are remarkable. There. Excellent. Anyway, there's more that we could get from this story, but I want to draw your attention to five verses in the Song of Deborah. And we asked the sisters to put them up here. So if we could read together, maybe I'll list them for you. And so this is in Judges, in case you want to read later. Judges chapter 5. And we're going to read verses 9. I think it's 15 to 16. What else? Yeah. And then 20, and then 31. Okay. Yeah. Thank you. So let's read, and we have them up here. Let's read let's read 9 first. Yes, go. Hold on. No, that's okay. Hold on. We'll go verse by verse. So this is a song of Deborah. And this gives you an insight into her spirit, into her heart, into her feeling as the story is going on. And what does she say? My heart is with the commanders of Israel. Do you see the proper spirit, the proper position, standing with the weak brothers, standing with the weak leadership? It's because of their lack that she had to come. But she's not, well, thank God that I'm here now. That's not her position. Her heart is not uplifted. Her heart is with the commanders of Israel. Her heart is with the leaders of God's people. Amen. Those who offered themselves willingly. He knows there's a proper consecration. And maybe this leads her into a renewed consecration. Sisters, to be the proper ones, we need our proper consecration. And we need to stand with those who are taking the lead. And pray for and honor their consecration. Verses 15 and 16. We can read these two together. The two phrases at the end of these two verses, I believe, are well known among us by now, particularly in the last 20 years or so. They are used even somewhat to incite consecration. Great resolutions in heart. Great searchings of heart. Did you realize, or have you been impressed ever, that this was spoken by a sister. A sister, in the view of strengthening God's people to fight for God's interest, there must be great resolutions in heart and great searchings of heart. Sisters, sometimes because of our attention to detail, as I mentioned, we recognize that especially in the females, there is attention to detail very often. And just as we see in Martha in the New Testament, Martha, where the Lord is there. You know, we talked about Mary coming to pour the offering. We read from the book of John. In John, Martha, it just mentions that she's serving. But when we go to Luke, we get a little more insight into what was really happening there. And we're told that Martha was, being drawn about with her service. And then she complained to the Lord Jesus. She said, don't you care? Do you see? Mary's just there. You should tell her to help me. And that in the recovery version of the New Testament, it has this phrase, she was drawn about with her serving. Drawn about is the phrase. But this word, this is a word, drawn about, this phrase, it's a word in the Greek language, which means this. It means being pulled in many directions at the same time. Is that your life? Does that describe your life? Even if you're a stay-at-home mom, that's all you do. It's with the children and, as they get a little older, schedules, and, this one has after school, that one has what? Piano. This one has a test. This one has a project. I have to go to the library. Then if you're a working mom, then you're doing the homework, but as you're with the child, you're being pulled to your job. When you're at your job, you're being pulled to your children. Sisters, we understand. We understand. And then we tell you there's a conference and you have to coordinate children's meeting. And then we tell you there's another conference the following week. And another one, that's our church life. Yeah. Sometimes those things will prevent you from having great resolutions in heart and great searchings of heart, because you're in the moment, and you have to be to some extent to take care of the situation. But sisters, I hope that through the consecration in verse 9, the willing sacrifice, the voluntary offering to the Lord, in your heart, you could maintain the great resolutions of heart. And realizing, I'm here for a higher purpose than this. I'm doing this, I must do this. We cannot, neither the mothers nor the fathers can renege on their human responsibility. But while I'm doing this, I know I'm on this earth for something more than this. Actually, I'm raising this child for that. This child is for that. I've mentioned before a testimony, because this is, I just have this recollection so sweetly. When I was a teenager in the church life here, I was, I believe I was about 16. 17 by now, 17. And living not too far from here, actually very close to the Dunton house in a small apartment with my mother and father. And some saints moved upstairs from us. They lived on the second floor. They actually were my, you know, our serving ones, our high school serving ones, this couple with a child. And they had a second child. And that child was particularly difficult at nighttime. Yeah, there was a period of time in the early months, very colicky, and and I still recall, I could still hear her. Not the child. It was a boy. The boy. What I mean is, I can hear Mom, who is one of my second moms. I can still hear her. So desperate before the Lord. Somewhat her nerves were at the end. And then my dear mother, bless her heart, gifted our sister a rocking chair. And the baby's room was directly above my room. So very often during those weeks and even months, very often, I still remember that blessed holy creaking. And our sister, or our dear sister, I don't even know if she might be here this morning. Oh Lord Jesus. Oh Lord Jesus. I could hear her. So I started to pray for her. And it was about, 2:30 in the morning sometimes, and nothing worked to put, and this is day after day. And then I remember she would often, actually every night, eventually start to sing. She would start to sing. You know, there is such a verse, "He giveth me songs in the night." I think sisters get more songs in the night than brothers do. And so she would just sing to him. And I don't remember whether he fell asleep, because I would fall asleep first to her singing, night after night. This happened several times. That sister, I knew that this family, their tent faced the tabernacle. Do you understand what I mean? Their tent faced the tabernacle. Because she was my serving one, and certainly not a message giver. Every now and then, either in the group meeting or in a small, when she would dare to stand up to say something, oh, I tell you, she had my ear, because I knew that's real. Whatever she's saying is real. And because of their shepherding, I'm still here. So I know, passing through, not only that, in later, stronger, deeper trials, did not blunt the great resolutions in heart of this family, my spiritual parents. Oh, sisters, that to maintain the great resolutions in heart, every now and then we need great searchings of heart. We need to have a time that's quiet in front of the Lord. And I realize, sisters, I realize some of you in the situation you're in, especially with young children, those times of quietness are few and far between. But there are some times. I'm not saying hours on end, but just sometimes, to search our own heart, or to allow the Lord as the searcher of hearts, as it says in Acts 15. The one who searches the hearts. Lord, search my heart. Search my heart. Where am I? Lord, where am I? Sometimes we would say this, Lord, I don't like where I am. Bring me to where I need to be. Sisters, don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged. And don't put self-made standards on yourself. Oh, I'm not where I should be. Yeah, let that realization could be the Lord shining, or it could be man-made light. It could be a kind of confession from knowledge. That's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about is a confession that comes of the Lord shining. It's good to say, Lord, where am I? I want my heart to be still focused on you and your purpose. In spite of all the details, in spite of all the things I have to take care of this day, in spite of the fact that I have very little time in the Word because of my responsibilities, Lord, I still love you. I'm still aiming at you. You know, sometimes you can get healed by the Lord, not by a time like this where you set aside time and said, you know that you can be healed on the go? You know, I was considering, there are at least these two stories. There's a story of the Canaanite woman. You know the Canaanite woman? And I think it's Matthew 15. Her daughter, actually she's concerned about her daughter. And she comes to the Lord, and he's way up in the north. And that's why he became accessible to her. That's the one where eventually it talks about the crumbs, that he's the crumbs. Yeah, that story. That's a marvelous story. This is another remarkable woman. Her insight. The Lord marveled at her faith. It's really something. And so he's up there, and then she comes and says, she calls, Son of David! I used to be troubled by this when I was younger. Like, why was the Lord so mean? Because he doesn't pay attention at all to what? And he's walking, and he says, I was considering, she's a Canaanite. Maybe she heard, you know that man? He's here. That man that we keep hearing about, the rumors that he heals people, he's up in these parts. Maybe she would see, my daughter sees the opportunity. But what's his name? What do I call him? I have a feeling that she was instructed. Well, I heard that you call him Son of David. And actually, that name is reserved for the Jews. And so she's a Gentile. So he didn't respond. But I thought, Lord, that's too formal. That's what I was thinking. And then she says, help me. Lord, help me. That's more genuine. Lord, Son of David, sir. That's too formal. He didn't respond. Lord, help me. Ah, now he responds. You know, when she got more genuine, he responded right away. Even then, though, you know what he says? Oh, it's not right for the children's bread to be given to the dogs. Even then I thought, oh, too rough, Lord. She didn't take it this way. Then she says, oh, really? Lord, you're the children's bread. Okay, I get that. And it's not right for you to be given to the dogs. Then what are you doing here? That's basically what she's saying. So even the dogs get the crumbs that fall off the table. He said, great faith. Like the two of them were like, you know. Because he said, do you realize you're a Gentile dog? She said, amen. I'm a little dog, But you know, you are a little crumb. And he said, amen. Do you know that that word about crumbs didn't come out of the Lord's mouth? It came out of her mouth. The revelation that he's a crumb that comes to where you are. Amen. Sisters, the nutrient in the crumb is the same as what's on the table. Some of you feel, oh, I don't go to that many meetings. I don't this or that. There's crumbs, at least. Just as good. Just as good. Do you see how he comes to where you are? He's not expecting you to get up to where he is. He's not expecting the little dog to jump on the table. Just be where you are. And let the Lord come to you. And you realize this whole scenario is on the move, on the go. Then we have that woman who had the flow of blood for all those years. And then she comes. She said, I don't know how she figures. If I just touch the fringe of his garment, I will be healed. And so, if you read the story from all the, you know, the different presentations from the Gospels, you will realize that the Lord was being pressed. Because, you know, eventually she comes and touches the fringe of the garment. I don't know how she did that without being detected, but she touched it and started going away. And he stopped. And you just have the picture that all the people around him stopped. You know how the New York City subway? You know? Yeah. And then you're just packed there. And then he says, who touched me? And then Peter says, it doesn't say that he said, But you kind of get the feeling, Lord, there are a lot of people around you, and a lot of people are pressing on you, so a lot of people touched you. He said, no, someone touched me. It wasn't that pressing touch. It was a touch of faith. Because he knew that power had gone out from him. Anyway, when she realized that she got caught, and you have to read different versions. You don't get this from just one story. Then she came and confessed. Now, she got healed on the go. You understand what I'm saying? They were moving, she was moving, touched, healed, and she was ready to go. But the Lord said, wait. And then she came. It was I. And you know what he said? Something that you don't find hardly in the scriptures, in the Gospels. Daughter, your faith has healed. Daughter, you don't find that very often. Daughter, your faith has healed. So she was on the go, and the Lord healed her on the go. You can get the healing on the go. You're busy. Yes, you're busy. You don't have to interrupt. You're changing diapers. You can be healed. At 2:30 in the morning, oh Lord, you can have some healing. But sisters, you might be satisfied with a little supply for the day. He's not quite satisfied with it. He just wants a sentence or two, a face-to-face, so he can encourage you a little bit more and a little bit more intimately and say, daughter, oh, what comfort was, what balm was that to this woman? Daughter. So the Lord does want fellowship. fellowship. Not just to be a remedy to our situation. So sisters, I would encourage you, now and again, taking into account your responsibilities and your day, your schedule, still take a little time to absorb Him. Even if it's 2 minutes. I read a message this week where Brother Lee is speaking to the sisters, and he says this: sisters, even 3 minutes, open the Bible and read. Just read a verse and pray read. But if your responsibilities don't allow you, just call up a verse from memory and just pray read that verse. Sometimes, sisters, I think you feel, I don't have my morning revival book. I don't have my paper. I don't have my sheet. I don't have my... What are the verses for? You don't have to... By the time you finish with what are... you're the time's up! Your window of 45 seconds, of 2 minutes, it's closed already! That's why it's good when you're young. Memorize the Word. Memorize the Word. Just know the Word. And then keep the habit of just read whenever you can. Read. Just read the Bible. You say, I don't remember. Don't worry about it. Just read the Word. When you need it, the Holy Spirit, who is called in John 14, the reminding Spirit, He will bring something to you. He'll bring something to you. I know in my life that's what happens. Verses from when I was a teenager. Verses from when I was a child. The Spirit will bring up at the right time. I know one verse, I still recall the first time this came to me. And I didn't know the reference. But the Lord spoke this to me. Be still. Of course, that Psalm, actually 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. So you just remember, oh Lord, be still. Oh Lord, Lord, please cause me to be still before You. Lord, I need You. Lord, while I'm here, just still, Lord, dispense Yourself to me. Lord, I love You. Baby Christ. Okay. Good enough. You got a little dispensing. And you know what? The great searchings, the great resolutions of heart could be maintained. The prayer for the church, the prayer for the work, the prayer for so many things can be maintained. Verse 20, let's go on here, Judges. Verse 20. From heaven, the stars fought. She realized, Deborah realized, it was not what I did, it was not my fighting. The stars fought. The heavens were fighting. Sisters, it's not your doing. It's your cooperating with the heavens. And let the Lord do things for you. And trust your prayer. The Lord answers the prayer of the sisters. Verse 31. May those who love Him be like the sun. There's a little secret here. There's a little secret to undergird the whole thing. And that is to be like the sun. To rise every morning. To have a new dawning every day. To have a time with Him. To have a time with Him, proper time before Him, to allow Him to renew our heart. And again, I know we have many young mothers. Yeah, sisters, our God is a flexible God. He's a tabernacle God. He tabernacled for a long time. He knows how to do that. He knows how to be on the move with you. So please don't have that strict, you know, concept. Actually, I could tell you, I don't know how many times I've given this message about morning watch or morning time with the Lord, and we give the example in Exodus 16 that the manna melts when the sun waxes hot. You know, a couple of years ago, I received some very helpful, intimate, crucial, practical fellowship from Brother Rick Scatterday. Many of you know Brother Rick. He's actually coming to be with us for the Spanish-speaking conference in a few weeks. I went to him to talk about my concern for another brother, because that brother had his second heart attack. And he had recovered and now was kind of back in his function and so on. And I had this burden to that we could help that brother, you know, lessen his load and travel and so on. So I went to Brother Rick and I told him that. And he said, yes, yes. And we talked for a few minutes. And then he said, but we are actually also concerned about you. So I said, I'm fine. He says, well, and he had some fellowship for me, particularly concerning my transoceanic travel. Because I, even this coming week, I'm going to Moscow this coming week. So I go to Moscow once a year, so I go over the Atlantic, and then I go over the Pacific at least twice a year, sometimes four times. So I go to Australia and some other places. So he was telling me how to rest. Yeah, and then I realized I'm not a good rester. I did not know how to rest. And part of my problem was my concept about the manna. That I would, you know, when you go across time zones and the jet lag, I'd get back and I tried to jump into the New York time zone schedule. So my thought was this: yeah, I need to rest, but hey, it's time. I want to get up, have my time with the Lord, and it's good times. And then I'll go back to bed. He said, don't do that. Because you're interrupting the sleep that's healing you. I said, really, Brother Rick? But Brother Rick, the manna. I had this concept. He said, forget about that. And just have your time later. So, this is a great practical help to me. Sisters, the Lord understands all your situations. Don't be held under any bondage of what you think or what you think the brothers will say, or, you know. I'm not talking about your husbands. I'm talking about the brother. Sometimes the thought is, the brothers out of respect or so on. Sisters, you just realize the Lord is for you. We are for you. We are standing with you. Especially the young mothers. We realize many of your husbands are the new serving ones in the church life. Yes, we realize we demand much, but we're standing with your family. We're not those who would sacrifice the family in that way for the church. Yes, our hearts. In our hearts, Christ and the church is first, of course. But the way that's carried out, it's very personal. You have to be between you, your husband, and the Lord in that triangular situation. The Lord is mobile. the Lord can meet your need on the go. But still, I would say, once in a while, you need to stop. You just need to stop and be still. Could we go back to Isaiah 30, 15, the first verse? Thus says the Lord Jehovah, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest, you will be saved. In quietness, and in trust will be your strength. But you were not willing. Oh, how often I've had to confess this. And I like to recommend Brother Watchman Nee has a marvelous article on this called In Rest Shall Be Your Strength. Sisters, sometimes because of your burden, because of your sensitivity, you see many things. You're burdened for many things. All the things are not perfect. More burdens come. Practical, family, work, health, church life. And the things sometimes become overwhelming. But I'd like to tell you, in returning and rest, you will be saved. In quietness and in trust will be your strength. In rest shall be your strength. We need to learn how to quiet our inner being. Because I know that many try. Oh, I have 10 minutes, so I sit here and I'm going to, or kneel here, or walk pace, whatever works for you. But when you stop, you can't stop this. And you're planning already. What's next? Okay, she's getting up in, oh, I have 30 minutes. I had to start the wash. Oh, wait, home meeting tonight. Oh, I got to cook. Oh, and oh, how we need to learn how to take captive all the thoughts unto the obedience of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We have to ask the Lord, would you train me? Would you train me? Would you strengthen me to focus on you just for these few minutes? Now, I have found, sisters, that one key from my experience, and somewhat from actually now hundreds of saints from my observation and fellowship, it seems that in order for the Lord to be able to have the ground in us to train us for this, we may need one time with a little longer time, maybe 30 minutes. To what? To unload many things in front of the Lord. To breathe out things before the Lord. Because there might be things that have accumulated. Disappointments, frustrations, unfulfilled dreams, unforgiven offenses, and they just have been there, and we never got unloaded. So we're like the clogged drain. Like in the sink, you turn the water on, it's flowing, but nothing is penetrating. Did you ever feel that way? We need some time to unload before the Lord. Maybe one time like that, every month, will allow us to be healed on the go in our situation. So I'd like to end this session by our singing a hymn. And I hope that as we sing, even as we sing, you can start to unload. And the hymn that we're like to sing is 255, 255. And this hymn shows us it's on breathing. But not firstly breathing in. In verse 1, the author, who's Brother A.B. Simpson, says, right, Lord, teach me how to breathe thee in. But he says, help me pour into your bosom all my life of self and sin. Then verse 2, almost to the end, you can see in every verse, first it's breathing out, then breathing in. Sometimes we try to breathe in, call the Lord, pray, read, breathe the Lord. It's not that effective. Why? Because we didn't have a proper time to unload our inner being in front of the Lord. And if we're clogged, then we surely could not have great resolutions in heart and great searchings of heart. So I hope this word would encourage you. Let's sing. Let's sing 255. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Aren't you encouraged this morning? Amen. We have a mobile God.
Amen.
He is on the move.
Amen.
He's available to us.
Amen.
Wherever you are, whatever you're doing.
Amen.
You know, recently I read something that really encouraged me, and it was about the goodness of God.
Amen.
You know that God's heart is always good toward us.
Amen.
Always. Always.
Amen.
It is always good toward you.
Amen.
It is always good toward me.
Amen.
And what this brother shared was that he actually shared from Psalm 23. And you know it says in there, surely what?
Goodness.
And what?
Mercy.
Shall what?
Follow me.
What?
All the
days
of my
life.
Amen.
But what really touched me was that that word follow, he shared literally means pursue. Surely goodness and mercy shall pursue me all the days of my life. You know, there's a difference between following and pursuing. You know, if you follow me, right? But if you pursue me, right? And he shared what it was like. He said, it's like a patrolman going down a highway with his lights flashing, right? And he's pursuing you.
Amen.
The problem is, you don't pull over. Right? You won't stop. But when he finally gets you to stop, because we think he's after us, he's out to get me. Right? But actually, it says goodness is pursuing you. So he said what he wants you to do is to pull over, because he wants to give you a message that's too good to wait for you to get home. He wants to give you goodness.
Amen.
He's pursuing you.
Amen.
He's pursuing us.
Amen.
All the days of our life.
Amen.
Lord, cause us to pull over.
Amen.
I want to hear your word.
Amen.
You're not giving us a ticket.
Amen.
You're giving us a wonderful message.
Amen.
I'm the good God.
Amen.
I'm for you.
Amen.
I'm following you. But there's also this matter, you know, also in the same psalm, it says, right, he brings me, he makes me lie down and leads me to the waters of rest. Same psalm. But, you know, I just feel like, Lord, you have to make me lie down. Make me lie down during the day. You know, with little children, the best advice the older ones will tell you what to do, when your children nap, what should you do? You should nap. When they lie, you make them lie down. Lord, make me lie down.
Amen.
Our tendency is when they nap, we just, oh, I've got this to do, this to do, this to do, before they wake up. The best thing to do is to lie down. Lord, be quiet. Lord, quiet my soul. Because once we lie down, what does it say? He restoreth my soul.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Pursue us and make us to lie down.
Amen.
We love you, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
As a young this word was very encouraging to me. I just had my first child a few months ago, and although I've been enjoying it very much, I feel like my relationship with the Lord has suffered. And I compare my time with the Lord to a year and a half ago when I was in the training. You get all this time, right? And now it's just I have a few minutes a day here and there. And so I appreciate now knowing that the Lord, that time matters to the Lord, that He is for us. Even I found myself recalling a verse by memory and prayer reading that. I didn't even know that was a thing, but I'm happy to hear that matters to the Lord. And right now I'm reading Song of Songs, and as I was hearing this word, the Lord reminded me of this verse in chapter 5, verse 4. It says, "My beloved put his hand into the opening of the door, and my inner parts yearned for him." Amen. And I feel like as I was listening to this word, my inner parts were yearning for the Lord.
Amen.
To know that he understands our situations, how busy we are as sisters or as mothers or what have you, but he still is for us. So, amen.
Hallelujah. I just ran up here because nobody was coming. And if there's one thing sisters know how to do, it's not waste time. So I was inspired by the song about breathing and this last point about breathing out, because sometimes we focus so much on, I need the supply, and you're going to the word. But, you know, if you teach somebody deep breathing, the first part is to exhale completely. And then when you exhale completely, as soon as you stop exhaling, the air rushes in. You can't help it. You don't even have to do anything. It just rushes in. So to breathe out, to be in quietness, to stop. Even sitting here this morning, I've had to tell myself, you're here now. You can't take care of that thing that your mind wants to go to. You can't take care of it anyway. Be here in quietness. Exhale and let the Lord rush in. Amen.
I was really touched by this Brother Ricky speaking that the Lord is flexible. I'm definitely one of those people that encourages morning time and even a long morning time. Like the time, you know, we've all heard morning time, right? Morning, yeah. And I love that time. However, the position I am in at my work is quite exhaustive. Really exhausting. So the work that I do is in Asia, so sometimes you have like 9 or 10 p.m. calls, and I can't get up in the morning in order to have that time that I really want. So like Monday and Tuesday will be good. Yeah, I'll have good mornings, but by Thursday and Friday morning, I just can't do it. And I've been praying with my roommate recently about that the Lord would come in during the day, that He would just come in. And ever since praying that, he's come in, and he's honored. He's really honored that prayer, you know. And the church life is not morning to morning or meeting to meeting. It's drop by drop, right? And practicing or just telling the Lord to come in, you know, in the normal way throughout the day. It happens, and then it's a thing, right? It comes in. And so I was on a flight Wednesday night, and we still feel the great loss. And there are many situations, sickness in the family, and we lose some family also in the church life. But even in that situation, the Lord come to you. The Lord come to us. You know, even the crumbs, it's the same as the bread. It is not, we're not sitting on the table, but it's okay. The Lord is our crumbs. And just this morning, while Brother Ricky was saying that, you know, sometimes that the verse come to you. And the Lord did say something. That was more than 10 years ago when I was in the same property, very difficult situation. And there's a verse in John 12:15. Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your King comes. Sometimes we just need to behold. Behold, your King comes.
Amen. Praise the Lord. The Lord has been training me to learn to eat Him as the crumb in a flexible way. Before I became the mother, I used to go to home meetings, so many different meetings, and then so much time in the Word, morning revival, afternoon time, and just enjoying. But then once I became the mother of little children, just my time, It's very hard, and I'm sure so many of you can relate. Anyway, but I just realized that I can even get revived, even with a little word, just a one word. One word from the Lord can supply me throughout the day, day by day. And then the Lord has been showing me so much. Mariko, it's not how much time you spend in time with me in the Word. If you have a living touch, even my word, just a word, can revive you and sustain you and then cause you to endure any hardships. Anyway, so praise the Lord for the motherhood. Amen. Amen. The Lord has been training me to learn to partake of Him in various ways, long way, all kinds of way, and short on-the-go way. But Lord can heal us. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord. The Lord can heal us. I feel like even this morning, being in this meeting, just hearing these stories in the Bible has been such a shepherding and a healing to me. And I appreciated this prayer. Lord, search my heart. Lord, bring me to where I need to be. And it just reminded me of a portion in the life study of Deuteronomy. I'll just read a little bit. It says, "When we hear about the kind of persons we must be to inherit the good land, we may feel that we cannot make it. If this is our feeling, we need to be reminded that the book of Deuteronomy is a book full of the Word, which is Christ. As the Word, Christ is the one who sustains us and makes us those who love God, fear God, subject ourselves to God's ruling, mind the tender feelings of God, and live in God's presence. As long as we have a morning revival through the Holy Word and have daily victory also through the Word, we will become those who are qualified to inherit the good land."
Amen.
I've just been appreciating through going through Deuteronomy that the Bible is everything. The Bible can do so much if we just come to it and read it and even just are reminded of the words in the Bible. And I heard a verse shared at a wedding more than a year ago, and it's a verse that keeps coming back to me. It's in Psalms somewhere, and it says, "All the paths of Jehovah are loving kindness and truth."
Amen.
And I just remember that verse, and you know, it's a shepherding to me to remember that all the paths of Jehovah are loving kindness and truth.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord, sisters. We're here.
Amen.
I'm just thankful that I'm here. I was on the fence, but I'm thankful I'm here.
Amen.
And I really feel like it was all the other sisters that helped me to get here. So praise the Lord. I was touched this morning that our primary function is to preserve and maintain life. And that if anything's going to be conceived, it has to be through the sisters. And so how much our inner being needs to be cared for. And I was just appreciative, you know, that that these great resolutions in heart and great searchings of heart can be maintained. And we need to have the time to breathe out because all the things pile up. But I just appreciate that. Lately I've just been enjoying taking walks in my neighborhood, just breathing out. And one time I was going to cook dinner and I just realized I can't right now. I have to go breathe out to the Lord. So I stopped what I was doing and I told my husband, "I gotta go, I gotta walk." So I took a walk around the neighborhood and I breathed out the whole day, all my work and all everything that was piling up. And when I came back in the house, I was a new person.
Amen.
I'm just so thankful that we can breathe out to the Lord and He's ready to receive it.
Amen.
And He doesn't judge us, but the more genuine we are, the more he responds.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Heal us on the go.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Heal us on the go.
Amen.
Oh, God is for us.
Saints, I really enjoyed seeing Deborah this morning, seeing how Deborah, her heart is with the commanders of Israel.
Amen.
Oh, she was on the proper position, standing with the weak brothers. Her heart was not lifted up. I just appreciated Deborah, and the Lord is just for us. This week, the Lord gave me this song. There were great resolutions of heart and great searchings of heart. And I've been singing this song all week, and I just cannot believe that here it is. The Lord is just speaking this word to us.
Amen.
Oh, He is just for us. But with this, I just appreciated that He really needs us to spend the time with Him.
Mm.
He really is longing for fellowship with us.
Mm.
And if He has this fellowship with us, then we can have this great searching of heart and this great consecration. But, oh, Lord Jesus, how we need to get into the Word. I just appreciate the reminder of memorizing the Word. Just like the other saints, you know, I went for a walk. I left my phone home purposely because I didn't want to be distracted. And then I realized I didn't have my morning watch verses. So I just called on my memory, Lord, all the verses. I just started reciting, walking, reciting, recalling everything that was put into me. What an enjoyment. Saints, we need to read the Bible. We need to memorize our verses and have fellowship with the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
¿Puedo hablar español? Para.
Amén. Oh, Señor Jesús. Oh, Señor Jesús. Solo quiero testificar.
I just want to testify.
que el Señor es muy dulce.
The Lord is so sweet.
Si nuestro corazón está abierto.
If our heart is open.
Soy una hermana que vino a la vida de iglesia con niños pequeños.
I came to the church life with little children.
Y en muchas ocasiones me he sentido frustrada.
I've been feeling very frustrated many,
por condiciones de salud de mi niño, su comportamiento.
With health related behavioral problems my children.
Y perdí el disfrute porque pensaba que era el hacer.
I lost the enjoyment because I thought I had to do.
Hasta que el Señor nos dice, estad quieto.
Until the Lord tells us to rest, to stay still, to be still.
Y conocer que yo soy Jehová.
And know that I am Jehovah.
Entonces puedes abrirte y verlo en todo.
And you can open and see him in everything.
Y ser fiel en lo poco.
And be faithful in the little
quizá
bit.
No pierdo una reunión.
Maybe I'll miss a meeting.
Pero esa noche el niño me dice, mamá, ¿dónde está Dios?
But then that night my little boy will say, mommy, where is God?
¿Qué pasa si voy a morir?
What happens if I die?
Y puedes ver al Señor de una manera muy dulce y viviente.
And then you can see the Lord in a very sweet and living way.
Y imponemos nuestro propio estándar de cómo vivir a Cristo.
And then we think we have a certain standard of how we should be living Christ.
Y en este día el Señor nos ha dicho, hija, tu fe te ha sanado.
And today the Lord is telling us, daughter, your faith has healed you.
Mi oración es que realmente nuestro corazón pueda estar abierto a lo que Él quiere hacer.
And that we would be open to what He can do in us.
Y ceder en completa paz y a poder abrir las cámaras.
And then just be at perfect peace and open up the chambers of our heart.
En esta preciosa sumisión que solo viene del trono.
And this submission that only comes from the throne.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. The saints, we will now take our lunch break until 2:00. So lunch is from now to 2:00. The next meeting will start at 2:00. And that will go from 2 to 3:30.